We're at the end of the tribulation period. Finally, Jesus is getting ready to return and bring blessing and bounty to all the believers. We see a number of contrasts. We see that the mother of harlots in Babylon is contrasted to the bride of Christ in heaven. The Antichrist who destroys the wicked harlot to the Christ who will marry the forgiven bride. From the weeping of the kings, merchants, and sailors on earth to the rejoicing of the inhabitants in heaven. From the temporary value of money, goods, and to the value of salvation and true worship, which is for all eternity. For all eternity. We have the funeral of Babylon to a multitude of noisy magicians at a wedding. Let's pray, Father in heaven, for this next few minutes. I pray, Lord, open our hearts and minds to receive that which you'd have us to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This particular commentary by Tim LaHaye has a good introduction that I'd like to share. You've all heard of the Hallelujah Chorus from Handel's Messiah, usually considered to be the most expression of praise in the field of music. It will pale when compared to the praise that will be in heaven by this heavenly hallelujah chorus of the future that's described here for us in Revelation chapter 19, which by the way, was the source of Handel's inspiration for the hallelujah chorus. All right, so much for that. Okay, y'all turned in Revelation 19. Are you there? Verse 1. After these things, these things is referred to, chapter 17 and 18, the destruction of the harlot, which was the religious system, and also the destruction of the city of Babylon. And so it's referring to these things. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation, glory, honor, and power belongs to the Lord our God. Now we know that obviously the angels aren't involved in this chorus. Why is that? Anyone? Why aren't angels involved in this chorus? The word salvation should be a clue to you. The angels don't know anything about salvation. So how would they sing about salvation? Because they don't know anything about it. Only you and I know what salvation is. So that tells us who these are. Who is involved in the multitude of heaven? The destruction of Babylon has taken place. This great multitude is now heard in heaven. It will be most likely the tribulation saints, by the way, who were martyred. These saints will have been martyred. Remember what the request was earlier in our study of Revelation. How long, Lord, will you wait to avenge us? Remember that chapter? How long, Lord, will you wait to avenge us? And it's happening now. This is it. It's time for the avengement. It's time. Salvation, glory, honor, and power belongs to the Lord our God. So we have within this multitude Old Testament saints and the church, that's you and me. Salvation speaks of deliverance here. Glory speaks of his judgment. And the power refers to our Lord's ability to overcome his enemies. Verse 2. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who has corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. There it is. That's the reason for the praising of God in heaven, declaring his truth and his justice, because he has destroyed the one world harlot religious system and avenged the death of his people. God will personally repay those who have harmed his people, and his judgments are true and they are just, because he gives people what they deserve. When God judges, it's true. Some people say, well, why does God do certain things? Because he has to do certain things, because he's just. There will be nobody able to put their finger in God's face and say, you didn't give me a chance. Oh, yes, I did. I've given you lots of chances. Lots of opportunities were afforded to you. You're the one that decided not to take advantage of those opportunities. Don't you blame me. The scripture says God is just. He is just. And the more I've studied this book of Revelation, what a blessing it's been. I have seen his love through this whole book. He is just long-suffering. A third of this, a third of that. Only portions. He could have totally annihilated the earth. Are you listening to me? He could have totally annihilated it. No, he only gave little portions of his judgment here and there because he wants people to repent. He don't want anybody to perish. He don't have any pleasure in the death of people. He has no pleasure in it. Why would he have pleasure in those things that he created? He created mankind after his own image. He has no pleasure in the death of anyone. He doesn't want anybody to die, especially without him. He loves us all. He wants us all to have an opportunity to get to know him better, to know him on a personal level. Many and long have been the years when it seemed that God didn't care about the suffering of his people, nor about the blasphemies of Babylon, and many that have claimed that God was dead, Henry M. Morse. Verse 3, eternal fire. Again they said, Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and ever. Her smoke is referring to Babylon. The rising up forever and ever, that refers to future tense. What's going to happen to the beast and the false prophet? Where are they going? They're going to the lake of fire. In the lake of fire, it burns forever and forever. That's the reference here. Hallelujah. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. This is the second time it's referred to in this chapter where we have a shout of hallelujah. One hallelujah is for the destruction of Babylon, the mother of harlots, and the other is for the destruction of Babylon, the city. And in this verse, it refers to no more than the destruction on earth. It means they've gone to their everlasting place of destruction, which is the lake of fire. The only smoke that one that will go up forever and ever is the eternal burning in the lake of fire. There won't be rejoicing in heaven because people on earth have perished or because property has been destroyed. But the rejoicing is happening because God has stopped Satan's killing of his people. The praises is because Satan's reign is over. Verse 4, worshiping the Father. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. Chapter 4 of Revelation, we know about the 24 elders and those that worshiped around God's throne, which were the living creatures that Ezekiel also saw a vision of in the first chapter of Ezekiel. David Jeremiah quotes the angels, the Old Testament saints, and the church saints, and the tribulation saints will raise their voices in a choir which will reverberate louder than thunder. I've heard some great choirs, but I'm really looking forward to being in this one. The 24 elders represents the entire church from Pentecost to rapture. And the elders and the living creatures will fall down and worship our God. Verse 5. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. A voice of one of the four living creatures that surrounds the throne. It was a voice that speaks of God as our God. That's how we know it was brought into living creatures, because he uses the term our God. This voice that came from the throne is believed to have come from one of the living creatures. It's directed to all the servants of God, to all those who are serving him. You serving him today? Are you serving him today? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you need to bow and ask Jesus to forgive you. Invite him to come and live in your heart. Verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. The sound of many waters is the sound of mighty thunderings. Alleluia, for the Lord God Almighty or Omnipotent reigns. All God's servants on earth will shout praises to him because of the Lord God Almighty reigns. It brings to mind at the time when King David had made plans to build the first temple of God. David bought the temple site. He gathered the materials. Anybody know why God didn't let David build it? Anybody remember? He was a man of war. A man of war is not going to build God's temple. The Lord said, David, I'm not allowing you to build it. You can gather the materials, but you can't build it. Your son Solomon will, however, build it, because it'll be a time of peace during his reign, and he and his hands don't have blood on. So David, you're not allowed to build the temple. But during that time, David gathered the materials. He paid for the site. He appointed 24,000 Levites to gather this stuff, 6,000 to oversee all these things, and 4,000 to guard the building, 4,000 to play instruments and sing praise to God. Can you imagine that? 4,000 people playing music and praising God. Can you imagine what that would sound like? Wow. Any of you have ever went to any big concerts, you'll understand a little bit about how that might sound. How that might sound. The bride of Christ, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. This will be a great day in heaven. It'll be a time for the Lamb's marriage to the church, the bride of Christ. It's no wonder the devil has attacked the marriage relationship so severely. Is it any wonder he's attacked it so severely? God has likened his church as a marriage relationship. He's likened it that way. That's why the devil hates it so bad. There will be a common time in the future, it says, that they'll even forbid marriage. You read it in Timothy. They'll forbid getting married. Why get married? Well, we see a lot of it today. Why get married? Just live together. It's a lot of it's happening today. We don't have to wait for it to happen. It's already happening. The event will take place right after the destruction of Babylon. It'll happen near the end of the tribulation period. The wedding party, until death do us part. No one in the wedding party will ever die again. This special union that exists between Jesus and the church is very similar to the union, by the way, that exists between a bridegroom and a bride upon their marriage. Big shouts out to the fathers and husbands, the bridegrooms. You know, at one time you was a bridegroom. Do you remember that? Huh? Do you remember when you was a bridegroom? You men, bridegrooms? Uh-huh. Bridegrooms. A shout out to all the bridegrooms today and fathers. Happy Father's Day. To become one, Jesus is coming back to earth, where he and his bride will reign together as one. The church will be joined. Jesus in a very special relationship. He will not come back without his people, and they will not reign without him. Be ready, for the future events of the church are about to take place. The first thing that takes place, of course, is the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. Will be taken up in the rapture. The second thing will be the judgment seat of Christ. What's that for? That's for all the Christians. What's the judgment about? It's when we receive our rewards. It's what when we receive our rewards. It's the judgment seat of Christ. You all will be receiving rewards. That's why the scripture says you're to lay up treasures in heaven, Are you laying up treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt? Doesn't matter how many treasures you have laid up here, it will mean absolutely nothing if you're not laying them up there. Up there is where you need to have them. Up there is where you need to have them. Judgment seat of Christ, where you'll receive your rewards. That's where the portion of scripture that comes into play is that some will be saved as of what? Fire. When the judgment seat of Christ happens, there'll be some believers that will be saved as of fire because they won't be receiving any rewards. No rewards. The parables that go in play here is the parable of the pounds, the parable of the king's son who got married, and the parable of the 10 virgins. They are the parables that go in place for this, what we're talking about now. The judgment seat of Christ, where you receive your rewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 12 through 15, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. We will attend the marriage and the marriage supper. These are two things that will be occurring. The marriage first and then the marriage supper. Revelation 19, verse 7 through 9. Then we will return with Christ for his millennial reign. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. So we didn't get there yet, but that's the next thing on the agenda. Christ will be returning for his millennial reign. I got to move right on. Verse 8, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. You know, that some years ago, not many of the brides made their own gown. Were you aware of that? Many of them made their own gown. And I guess because some aren't able to do that, they purchase them. But many times the bride made their own gown. The scripture says that they were arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. That's the reason why you hear that the gown should be white, because it stands for righteousness, to be clean and bright. Fine linen, quite a contrast to the mother of harlots, who was arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. You see, the bride's righteousness really contrasts with the mother of harlots. The mother of harlots had in her hand a golden cup that was full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And so the bride being made ready, quite a contrast to the harlot who is drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, those who died during the tribulation period. Verse 9, let's try to get that in. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, for these are the true sayings of God. John heard the angel tell him to write. He was told to write about the wedding supper of the Lamb. And all those who were invited to attend the supper are called blessed and happy. Robert Frost, as you remember that name, said that a parable is a story that means what it says and something else besides. Some have called them earthly stories with heavenly meanings. The English word parable comes from the Greek word parable, which means to place beside or alongside. And so a parable is a story that says one thing for the purpose of teaching or illustrating something else. Jesus used them often. He spoke and talked well-known and easily understood truths about all these earthly things to help people to understand the difficult truths about spiritual things. The parable of the 10 virgins, found in Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 through 13. The 10 virgins are the people that heard the bridegroom. The bridegroom is Jesus, his bride is the church, and they were coming back for the wedding banquet. Jesus will come back to earth with his church at the end of the tribulation period. And then there'll be the marriage supper of the Lamb. It'll be only for those who have received the Holy Spirit, by the way, and those virgins were those with oil. In the parable, it was those that had oil in their lamps, and that signifies those who received the Holy Spirit. Only they will be allowed to attend the banquet. The parable of the wedding banquet tells us, and this was found in Matthew 22, 1 through 14, about a king who was God, who prepared a wedding banquet for his son, which was Jesus. He sent out invitations. Many of those that were invited, unbelievers, made excuses for not attending. So he invited others, by the way, the church. I also liken this to Jesus coming to the Jews and the Jews rejecting him. And so he sent the apostle Paul to the Gentiles. And so the one man who was an unbeliever was not wearing the right kind of wedding apparel, which was fine linen. So he was escorted out. The wedding apparel signifies that kind of righteousness needed to attend the banquet. And God, by the way, provides that apparel to all those who will accept Jesus as his Savior. And those who do not have it are not prepared to spend eternity with God. Do you have your apparels today because you belong to Jesus? Do you have your apparels for the wedding? We cannot go to heaven or attend this feast as we are right now. But through Jesus Christ, we can. If you're here today and you're saved, you have your apparel. If you're not, you don't have your apparel, and you won't be allowed to enter. You must have the apparel that only comes through the righteousness of Christ. All others will be cast into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12. And so there's another verse, I'll closing with this, that gives us some more insight in understanding the marriage. The Lord's Last Supper, Jesus said, he will not drink the fruit of the vine again until he drinks it in his Father's kingdom. We believe his Father's kingdom is the millennial kingdom on earth. Behold, he said, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20. Hal Lindsey said regarding this, while Revelation 19:9 pronounces a blessing on the guests at this supper, it doesn't indicate the time or the place. It's my feeling that the wedding feast of the Lamb and his bride will take place on earth at the very beginning of the millennial kingdom of God. Of course, my other commentary believes it's going to happen in heaven. Listen, folks, I don't care if it happens in the parking lot at Walmart. I'm just be happy and glad that I belong to Jesus as you should be. Are you happy and glad? Do you have your apparels today for the wedding feast? If you don't know Jesus, you need to know him. Invite him to come and live in your heart. We all stand. It's time to go home. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this time together we've had today. Thank you for each and every one that's able to be here today. Lord, I ask you to bless these fathers, Lord. Bless these husbands. Bless these bride grooms. Bless them, Father. Bless them in Jesus' name. Lord, I just thank you for them. Thank you for these families. I ask you, Lord Jesus, now to go with each and every one to their homes. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've accomplished today in our hearts. And we look forward to serving you from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.